and then the flight stopped. The running Chichimec slowed, halted. Then, turning, they began to run back at their tormentors at the same mad speed, shaking their weapons and screaming with rage.
Fire blast!
Ryan, watch it!
JB rose and fired a burst from the hip into the ground right in front of his friend. Ryan jumped back. The bullets had cut a rattlesnake clean in two. The halves writhed in a final frenzy. As Ryan watched, a second snake slid from the grass, headed right toward him. It was maybe 4 feet long and looked normal. But it wasn't acting normally. There was nothing normal at all about a rattler emerging from the grass to charge a human. Ryan blasted the snake with his stire. JB vaulted under the hood of the Hummer.
Bastards are all over the place!
They seemed to be all over the line as well. Scavvies were jumping up and away from their positions with frantic haste. A few who hadn't been alert or quick enough screamed as fangs pumped toxins into bodies or limbs or pain-contorting faces. A clump of scavvies not 30 yards from the Hummer began to holler and slap themselves and run the way the crew from the Valley Gunwag had. Ryan saw small flying shapes swarming around them.
Wasps. Wasps and snakes. Animals fight us now.
Ryan had joined JB on the Waghood. They looked at each other.
The Holy Child!
We control the emotions of men and animals.
The onslaught of vermin was breaking the scabby line. Behind the creatures came hundreds of Chichimecs, yelling their bloodlust. Bloodlust that Ryan knew with sudden conviction had replaced the panic that had driven them to rout because of the muti powers of their prophet, or god, or whatever he was. One of the scooter scouts was forking his bike off to the right of the Hummer, firing an M16 into the onrushing muties. Ryan shouted, waved at the man. When the scout looked up, Ryan beckoned furiously with an arm.
Come here, right now!
The man looked puzzled, but slung his long blaster and rode over to the wag. Ryan jumped down.
I need your ride.
Huh?
He grabbed the man's arm and all but threw him off the dirt bike. The one-eyed man jumped on the bike and gunned it off to the northwest, angling away from the charging Chichimecs.
Ryan! Ryan! The Tingonsei!
Ryan heard a shout from behind him, looked back over his shoulder. A lone biker was riding in his wake, Five Axe. For a moment, Ryan wondered if the Jaguar Knight was trying to recover his comrade's stolen property. The other bike came up alongside. Five Axe grinned and flashed Ryan a quick thumbs up. Realizing the other had followed to watch his back, Ryan nodded and grinned. He was several hundred yards wide of the screeching, racing mob of Chichimecs. Beyond them, he could see Don Hector's men streaming back away from the battlefield in droves. Maybe monsters had gotten in among them. Or maybe it was something as mundane but still dangerous as hornets and rattlesnakes. He could still hear machine guns, both the slow, deep thump of the 50s and the higher-pitched grip of the 30 calibers, and rockets continued to snake across the sky, although they were now falling behind the main crush of invaders as they charged for the scabbies. The defenders were still fighting back, still bringing some pretty awesome firepower to bear, but Ryan knew that couldn't last. A pair of figures loomed up in his path. Chichimecs, one of them a mutie with sheets of skin hanging from his chin and torso and limbs like bloody moss. Ryan yanked up on his handlebars. His front wheel came off the ground and bit into the mutie's chest like a circular saw. The mutie screamed and fell backward as blood and tissue flew. Ryan felt bones break as his weight combined with the bike's landed on the man. He kept on riding. Ahead of him and a little to the left rose a small hill. By its near-perfect conical shape, he guessed it was a baby Smoky. Hopefully a dead one, although since it wasn't spitting hot gas and molten rock right that moment, its actual state was the last of his worries. He swung wide and then ran the bike up it almost to the top. He laid the machine down, unslung the rifle, began to scramble to the crest. Five Axe laid his bike down next to Ryan's and immediately began to fire single-aim shots from his FNFAL. Chichimec stragglers were running toward them from all directions. Good thing he tagged along, Ryan knew. The Jaguar Knight had followed to watch his back. He'd just have to trust him to do it long enough. Ryan unslung the stire and went to his belly. A bullet whanged off a rock a yard to his left. A muscle in his cheek twitched.
Damn.
He crawled upward, peered over the top. A knot of invaders stood 400 yards away. He pushed his stire in front of him, pulled the butt into his shoulder, and peered through the scope. A bullet from somewhere behind cracked overhead.
Ryan! Fast! Fast!
After a moment of near panic when he saw no targets, The Earth is wide, the field of view of a telescopic sight very narrow. Ryan found the group he had seen before. There were a dozen Chichimecs, human and mutant, and a figure he guessed was human, although it seemed to be wearing the skin of an animal, complete with the animal's head draped over his own. But even that bizarre sight wasn't what commanded his attention. In the midst of the group stood a figure that was maybe 4 feet tall and maybe 3 feet wide. Its skin was chalky white. The lank hair on its round skull was silvery white. It looked something like old faded ads Ryan had once seen, featuring what he'd read was the Michelin Tire Man, with fat hanging in folds around it. It was standing where it could just peer south over the top of a rise. A full auto burst roared out from behind Ryan, a very bad sign. He laid the crosshairs on the middle of the body. Even he, hardened chiller that he was, felt a tiny pang at dropping the hammer on a child. But not enough of a pang that he didn't take a deep breath, release some of it, hold, and gently squeeze the trigger. Something slammed into his back at the instant the shot broke. A wave of agony and terror washed over Ryan and knotted his guts. Desperately, he rolled onto his back. He got halfway, and something jammed him, stopped him cold. A Chichimec was standing right over him. 5X had the long FNFAL across the invader's throat like a bar and was trying to choke him with it from behind. Ryan struggled and, with a convulsive heave of effort, brought out his Sig Sauer. 5X's eyes got wide as Ryan raised the blaster. Copper-jacketed nines would punch right through the Chichimec's skinny body into his. Ryan fired twice. The noseless mutie who had been about to plunge a spear into 5X's back fell. 5X released the raider he was holding with his long blaster. The man dropped to his hands and knees across Ryan's legs. He tried to get up. When he looked back toward 5X, the Jaguar Knight's Macahuitl struck him in the center of the forehead and split his skull. Hot blood pulsed over Ryan's legs. Ignoring it, Ryan pointed his Sig Sauer past the Jaguar Knight. He could see 4 or 5 Chichimecs, but they were no longer trying to attack the pair. As 5X wrenched his weapon free and turned, the raiders began to back away. Their faces began to twist as from unbearable agony or fear. Tears gushed from their eyes. Crying out as though in pain, they ran away to the north. Ryan's own strange panic had ebbed. He rolled over onto his stomach again, got behind his rifle, and looked through the scope. The group of raiders he had seen before was now gathered tightly around what he could only glimpse as a supine white form. He had tagged the Holy Child. Now he'd finish the job, if only one of those bastards down there would move just a little out of his line of fire. He felt an odd wrench at his back. He yanked around to find himself looking up at 5X. 5X held the obsidian-tipped spear he had just pulled out of Ryan's backpack.
Spoiled my shot.
Better go now.
5X jerked his head to the south. The surviving Chichimecs were all headed north at a brisk pace. That meant hundreds of them were headed right at this hill. The Holy Child had obviously broadcast his pain and terror when Ryan's bullet hit him. Fortunately, he was tuned more to his followers' wavelength than Ryan's. The one-eyed man had almost been unmanned by the psychic blast as it was. The invaders were still feeling their leader's pain, or so Ryan guessed. They were obviously no longer interested in fighting. But Ryan couldn't but think it would be unhealthy to just sit here and let them flow past. And if they caught the notion the two enemies on the hill were the ones responsible for their Holy One's anguish...
Yeah, reckon we better do that thing.
The moon hung low over the mountains to the west. Down south, the Smokies were hardly making their presence known. Ryan grabbed the mic from the Hummer's radio.
Tenorio's heading back to the city. He's got about 20 wounded with him. Couple won't make it, no way. 3, 4 more, maybe. Rest are basically patch-up jobs.
I'll be glad of something to do. Been getting antsy sitting here watching Christy and fretting about you boys being off in the middle of some battle. Is that crazy old coup coming back with Dante?
Doc? Yeah. He'd rather sleep in a nice soft bed tonight than in the backseat of the wag.
Ryan glanced toward the big bonfire at the main camp, 100 yards away. A ring of city fighters was attempting a drunken dance of celebration. They kept weaving perilously near the flames.
Can't say I blame him. Are you sure Christy...
Ryan, I told you. I'm not sure of anything except that her life's not in danger. And that's mainly because she's so tough. Her fever's mostly gone and she seems to be sleeping normally right now. I still have no idea what's hit her. And if there's any change in her status, I'll definitely call you right that instant.
All right.
Now quit fussing and go back and play the hero. Get drunk, unwind, live a little. You've earned it from what I hear.
All of us. Jack and JB were right in the thick of it. You know them, no way to keep them out. And I'm not sure Doc wasn't in as much danger as any of us back there at HQ with Don Hector on hand.
You were the one who turned the tide, though, Ryan.
Yeah. I shot a kid.
What's this? Regrets?
Well, not really. I mean, I try to do what I have to do.
Just nail that down right there, Ryan. You do what you have to do. Shooting a child doesn't come easy to you? Well, congratulations on still being part of the human race in spite of being Deathlands born and bred. But that child was turning the whole battle against you, fixing to wipe out the whole army. Maybe this isn't our fight, although you know I agree with your reasons for making it ours. But at that point, you were saving your life, and JB's, and Jack's, and Doc's as well, and maybe Christie's and mine, too. It's a mean old world, Ryan.
Yeah, okay. And if Christie...
I'll keep her near me so I can keep an eye on her while I'm helping with the wounded. I'll call you, I promise. Bye.
For a moment, he just stood looking at the microphone in his hand. It was usually this way after a fight. Once that old adrenaline quit holding you by the neck, the body started to feel wrung out and empty.
Ryan, amigo.
He turned. It was Five-Ax, carrying a heavy earthenware bowl. With him came JB. Neither was too steady on his pins. The Jaguar Knight pressed the bowl on him. He looked into it and by reflex wrinkled his nose.
Pulque. Local brew. Our city friends trade the valley folk for it. Looks like snot. Smells like a horse. Don't taste half bad. Which isn't to say it tastes good. But it'll knock you on your ass.
This is a good thing?
This is a good thing.
The armorer laid a hand on his friend's shoulder. Ryan noticed there was no tremor to the grip. And it came to him he'd seldom seen his friend anywhere near incapacitated by drink.
Sometimes a man needs knocked on his ass for a spell. Comprende, like they say in Mex talk?
Yeah.
Uncertainly, he accepted the bowl from Five-Ax, who grinned like a goblin and slapped his shoulder.
Helps if you hold your breath when you drink it.
I'll do that then.